we are here today with my friend Jillian Rose. Oh,
thank you.
I feel like I should have my pinky out when I say your full name, your true given Christian name. Being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing. And yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community. There's so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid, but also there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast where we're talking about joy and queer things. Jill, tell us a little bit about yourself. So how would people recognize you? Right now, if people are seeing you, like, oh my gosh, where do I know her from?
I'm the BYU graduate that at my graduation, I put a rainbow flag on the inside of my robe, went and showed the university and the students that were there, made a little bit of a dramatic scene and got a lot of attention for it. So
do you like sew really well?
I don't. I actually can't sew at all.
So I don't know, girl, because I look smooth.
I know, it was
really
good.
I remember seeing it and I remember being like, those edges look really nice.
The detail. But now that was my sister. My sister did it for me. The night before, I was like, can you do this for me? She's like, sure. So yeah, she did it for me.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know your sister was involved, like kind of just like helped out. She's like, you do this.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah,
I
it
love
was cool.
That little family.
A lot of support from my siblings.
Okay, cool. Where are you from?
So I'm from Farmington originally.
Okay, so like a little up north from Provo.
Yeah, no one knows Farmington, but everyone knows Lagoon. So I'm by Lagoon, the amusement
from
park.
Lagoon?
Yeah, I grew up underneath the white roller coaster.
Stop. That was you.
The campground.
You little girl that's like catching all the sunglasses that fall off the ride and like storing them.
Yes. You're like, selling them on the streets after.
You have a whole shrine of sunglasses. Oh my gosh, that's so random. Cool. So thank you so much for coming. And I was telling you this, I know you've been doing a ton of interviews about the BYU thing, and I love the story, and I'm like, you're obviously bold and brave, but what people, and I hope people do know this actually, is you are very like witty, you're very fun, you're very funny, and I was excited to have you and your brain here today. I was like, tell us about, so far as like this whole vibe, right? Mm-hmm. What we're going for is like, and I know we talked a little bit about this, but it's the concept of life, like we have these hard moments and we have these things to overcome, but like, especially when it comes to being queer, it's like, there's like joy to be found in it.
Yeah.
Right? How do you identify sexuality-wise, if you don't mind me asking?
So I'm a cisgender woman that is bisexual.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
But it's like a scale, you know? Like some people are in the 40%. I would say I'm like an 80% girl attraction. There's like a 20% male.
Okay, so like 80% girls, 20% men?
Yeah.
Ooh, I do feel like, oh my gosh, don't cancel me for this. I do feel like my attraction is like 95% men, 5% women.
Okay.
Every now and then.
So like, there's like a golden egg somewhere.
Every now and then a Latina will walk by in my life. Oh
my gosh.
And I'll be like, oh.
I'm a sucker for Latinas too.
Girl, listen.
I get it.
You know what I'm talking about. I met this girl at a party the other day and legit my breath caught. And I was like, you shouldn't have this power over me. I was like, oh gosh. I was like, you're breathtaking. I forgot how to. I was like, "What do I do? Do I like compliment you? I don't know."
It's the Latina magic.
I know. I was like, it transcends all sexuality. Oh man, let's pocket that. We're doing that movie. We're gonna work on that. Okay, so I want to get to know you a little bit before we start jumping into what is queer joy mean to you? What does it sound like? Any experiences you might have? And I have this little. I told you this before we started. This is actually something I do a lot on dates.
Okay. So it's like a first date right now.
I just think it's a fun way to get to know you. And I have this list of 50 questions.
Okay.
Numbered 1 through 50. We're not going through them.
I was like, that's a lot.
Just get ready. Buckle up.
I'm ready.
The date is just an interrogation.
Speed dating.
Where were you May 5th, 1997? I'm going to ask you insurrection questions. Be like, January 6th, what were you doing?
I was like, I don't even know what I did yesterday, so good luck.
I know, that's right. Okay. So what I want you to do is I want you to guess a number between 1 and 50. And then we're just gonna ask you that question that it falls on. Some are really chill, some are a little deeper. I don't know which one we're gonna get. And then you're gonna do the same for me.
I like this.
Okay, so choose a number between 1 and 50.
47.
She went to 47.
That's right.
Okay, oh gosh. If you could go back to any age or time of your life, what age or time would it be?
Ooh.
Came in swinging.
I really liked. Ooh, that's a really good one.
And you can take your time, no rush.
I really liked 19. Actually, 17 and 19 were both
really
my favorites.
Why?
Yeah. because I had like I had a driver's license, I had a car, I had a really good paying job, I was living with my parents, so I didn't have to cash it out. And so my friends and I were like trying all these new experiments. We were like going on trips and we were trying different foods, and it was like I had some more of the adult experiences of like traveling and trying foods and buying things and having money. But also I was like living at home and like I didn't have all the adult responsibilities I have now.
That so is nice. Listen, being an adult, I tell people like, I remember being in college for the first time from high school and just like wanting ice cream and being like, I'm just gonna eat ice cream. Yeah. And I was like, this is what it must be to be an adult.
Am I allowed? Do I have to ask anybody?
And then I realized the money I spent on ice cream, I'm going to be a little short on rent. And I was like, this is what it's like being an adult.
That's when it hits.
I was like, oh no.
The backside of it.
Oh, that's a good question. Okay, here. I'm going to choose 23.
Behind door 23, we have, what does vulnerability mean to you?
Oh my word.
What has the ability to make you vulnerable?
I didn't think we were going to go that deep so fast. Vulnerability. I am a Brene Brown stan, so I should be ready to answer this.
Okay.
So, oh man, I'm going to let y'all in on a little Stacey secret. Vulnerability is opening yourself up to risk is kind of how I define it.
Okay.
And I think we kind of think of it as like you share things that are like, it's hard to share. And, mm-hmm. and then you get closer to people from that connection and being like opening that self up, that part of yourself up. But for me, I can be really open and transparent, but I'm not really vulnerable.
Mm.
Like, I'm like, oh, look, I can talk about every aspect of my life,
yeah.
but I don't open up to the risk. Like, I don't let myself open up to a point where it could hurt me or not. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, if someone comes and they're like, you're gay, and I'd be like, duh, I've done 18 podcasts about it. Like, whatever. Like, not a problem. Or they're like, you're black. I'm like, I own mirrors. Like, well, I don't know. But if, like, to share parts of myself that could be hurt is scary. And that's how I think of, I think that's like, and leaning into that, I think is like how one feels and expresses love.
Mm-hmm.
It's like opening yourself up to the risk of heartbreak and heartache or intense connection. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, we're going deep on this.
Beautiful.
I was like, this is gonna be a little softball game. We're gonna have like a little fun.
And we're dipping deep.
Yes, yeah, so let's do one more for each, okay?
All right.
Okay. Number 1 and 50.
Let's do 28.
Ooh, I don't know. I'm so excited about that. What is something you've never done that you've always wanted to do?
Ooh, there's a lot.
I feel like you're pretty adventurous.
I know. There's a lot. I want to see the Aurora Borealis. I want to do sled dog racing.
I feel like you would be so good at that.
I know. I feel like I would connect. We would know each other.
Are you a dog person?
I am. I own two.
What kind of dog?
I have a Shetland sheepdog, so a little Sheltie, and then I have a Border Collie.
Oh, those are high energy dogs.
They are. I love herding dogs. They're smart.
I was going to say, you would love, oh my gosh. Okay, keep going. So
I want to own an ice cream truck and not sell ice cream. I just want to drive it around and eat ice cream, but I want to own an ice cream truck.
Not even like give it away.
No, just that's, like, that's something I've always wanted to do.
I thought children
run behind me.
Oh, this isn't for you. You only go a top speed of 15 miles per hour.
Yeah, they're like, please stop. Like,
you gotta like,
this is delicious.
They always have, ice cream trucks always have, it's either the music that's like, you're gonna get kidnapped. It's like creepy, like eerie music. Or it's like, this could be something I could get to in the club. It's like drop a bass on it. Ding, 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 ding. I always feel like it, you know what I mean? I always feel like
it is. It's like eerie, but then it's also nostalgic at the same
time.
It's
either one or the other. I'm mm-hmm. like, one of them is like, oh. I just love the image of you driving down streets, hoarded with ice cream, being like, this isn't for you, children. Get out of here. On the highway going 10 miles an hour. Okay. Last one for me.
Last one.
Let's do 5.
Who do you think had the largest influence on the person you are today?
These should be like finisher questions. I don't know why we're asking this question at the top. Who's the person that had the largest influence on... Wait, what's the question again?
Yeah, who has the largest influence on the person you are today?
Dang. Who had the largest influence on me as the person I am today? I would have to say... Oh, yeah. I was going to say Jesus. But I think it's my dad.
Really?
For sure, my dad. I think I see a lot of myself in my dad. Mm. Like a lot of like my traits out of my siblings. I think I got a lot from my dad. I respect him so much. So my parents divorced when I was 10, and mm-hmm. my mom, staunch LDS, my dad was going to a Baptist church. I actually got a scholarship to BYU from a Baptist church.
Whoa.
Yeah, fun. Little
crazy. Time,
right? And my dad was just like always very involved, just like a good guy. Mm-hmm. He like drinks and he doesn't like do, like he's not LDS. It doesn't do the LDS thing. But if I could be half the person he was, I feel like I would be accomplished. And so I feel like he was really good for me is when it came to like religion, he was like, there is good everywhere. Mm. And the whole thing, his whole thing is like, wherever you are, just embrace the good and be good. Mm-hmm. And so I think that mentality has like stuck with me a lot as I've been like navigating what my faith means to me or like what it means to me to be a member of my community, you know, a community that feels like can like really not like me sometimes.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, nah, my, man, we got deep.
Yeah, we did.
I think we're good, but that was like the whole, we all did all the juicy stuff. I don't know. Dang, that was like.
I want to ask like more questions about that.
Oh, Brian, afraid, go for it.
So what like trait do you feel like you have from him and what trait do you wish you had from him?
Ooh, so I feel like some of the traits I have from him, I think of, he's like pretty charismatic. He's like the guy that's like leaving church on Sunday. We're never gonna make it to the car. I'd always bring a book because I'd be like, after church, I read.
Yeah.
And he like chills and chats. And now that's me.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that's like, hey, like I go to the gym and like 50% of my time is working out, 50% is connecting.
Cool.
Like sitting behind
that.
The desk, like chatting with people.
Yeah.
I like that about him. He's a really hard worker. My mindset with it when it comes to like discipline and work too. So I coach team conditioning camps. I like working with youths and I work with adults with fitness.
Cool.
And I'm very like stern. He's like work hard, play harder.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty stern and firm, but I'm also like chaotic.
Cool.
And like wild. I'm like, we're gonna play a game.
I love that.
After you give me 10 push-ups, drop down. I throw out push-ups like Oprah does, like gifts on her show. I'm like, you get some push-ups. You get some push-ups. Give me push-ups. Anyways, yeah, so that's kind of like, those are some traits I feel like I got from my dad. And I really like his energy and how he like goes about life. I think he just has like a really chill persona.
Cool.
You know? Yeah. What? So like, how long have you, so you've been out for how long?
I mean, it kind of gauges because I came out to my family like 2 years ago, just in my inner circle. And then once...
It really does.
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
it
what does that even mean,
right? Stages, right? So like out to my circle, my immediate people, my friends and close family. And then after I was in a relationship, and so it wasn't until after I graduated BYU that I officially came out.
Gotcha.
Because
that's right.
Right, because I was just trying to protect, like if I came out, then everyone's like, wait, are you in a relationship? Then it gets sticky.
It gets messy.
And so I was just like, let's just wait until I'm done. So after my graduation, that's when I came out in like January. I just posted a video, and the reason was I just wanted to live authentically and transparently.
Yes.
And there's so many people, like I loved my mission. I served in Oregon.
You served in Oregon?
I did.
I was just in Oregon. What part?
So I was in the Eugene mission, but I was everywhere. I was in Newport and Klamath Falls.
I was just in Medford.
I love Medford, yeah.
That is a quaint little place.
Yeah.
It was like lovely. Okay.
And, yeah, so it was all over, but like there's so many people that I didn't want to have that conversation over and over and over because it's exhausting, right?
It really is.
I know that you come out the rest of your life. Mm. Like when you go to a hotel and they're like, oh, is this your sister? Is this your friend? Like, this is my girlfriend, right? Like, you come out.
Buckle up, hostess.
Over
or whatever the person at the concierge.
Yes.
Buckle up, concierge. This is my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. So I came out to my family, and then I came out after I graduated to everyone. And then, so a lot of people actually think at my graduation that was me coming out, but it wasn't. It was just to, you know, show the people at BYU that they're seen and that we need to be seen.
Mm.
So.
And you talked about, like, living authentically, right? Like, you came out to live authentically. Was it like... Like, was it hard to not be authentic? Like, what was that like before coming out? Because you're like, coming out is the process of becoming more authentic. Before that, was it like, was it hard?
Yeah.
He was like, why? What was hard about it? Tell me about it.
I think what was hard is that I felt that I wasn't fully being me and people didn't know fully me. And it's hard because I wanted them to.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to just be like, look, you know, like, you know 70% of Jill, but there's this 30% of my life that you have no idea exists that brings me so much happiness.
Oh.
And I want people to, like, I want them to see the joys of my life and the joy of who I am. And that part, I just felt like I couldn't share it and I couldn't live it quite yet.
Girl, I feel it. I feel it. I'm like, I've always had this big platform on authenticity. I used to teach, like, Stakes Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I was a ward instructor. I was just like, Elvis Cormier's instructor. I was just like, I love teaching callings. And I was always like, authenticity, y'all.
Yeah.
Authenticity. And then there was a point when I was like, my behind is in the closet. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not even like, yeah. I'm like, show me who you are.
Uh-huh.
Someone talks about like having like a porn addiction. And I was like, yes. And someone talked about like a situation of abuse. And I'm like, yes,
yeah.
Like, be authentic, share the
live
things.
Live it, be real.
And then I'm in the meantime, I'm like teehee in my little like closet. So that was, for me, that was a moment where I was like, bro, you gotta live your, do your thing. Okay, so let's talk about that. I was like, Pri, you've come out.
Mm-hmm.
Has it been different at all? Do you feel like it's changed since you've come out?
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
I feel, and I noticed this with my brother. So my older brother is gay, and he came out years ago.
Let's go.
Yeah, it was crazy. And he was very much a maverick for our family of like, how to navigate it and how, you know, and it was very different how we reacted to him versus how people reacted to me. Because obviously he was the maverick of it and we knew how to respond better. Like I remember grieving when he came out and we were like, this is so sad. But like, then
our family's changing.
Yeah. And then when I came out, my family was like, this is exciting, you know? And like, I really respect what he went through because he did navigate things different than I had to.
Yes. Shout out to the ones who've paved the way for us.
Yeah.
I feel like anytime I meet someone queer who came out before me at all, I'm like, you literally made it easier for me.
Yeah.
You literally were the first ones to start creating that rough trail.
Yeah.
And like now I come out and it's like everyone's so supportive. And like, you know what I mean? They're haters, but whatever.
It
we always have haters.
And it was cool though, because what I noticed is when he came out, we actually started to know who he was. And we had such a stronger relationship. I can say that like before then, we really didn't have much of a relationship.
Interesting.
And then when he came out and was like, this is who I am, he was more authentic with us and we were able to love him more because we actually started to know who he was.
You could like see him.
Yeah.
I get
and
that.
It really strengthened our relationship, like him and all of our siblings. And so it was cool. And so when I did the same thing, it was like, it was a similar pattern of like, look, this is who I am. And like, this is what I am. And I've decided I'm going to live it. And I'm just moving forward. And that's what it is. And this is normal.
Interesting. I think there's something really cool there about that like concept of like who we are is not like defined in a box that it like overlaps and interlocks. And when you cut off a part of yourself, you by virtue cut off other parts of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, people can't like, they can't get to know you. They can't get that vulnerability because they're not getting you. That connection isn't happening. Do you feel like you've grown closer to people since coming out? Like people you've already known, like they could see you more.
Yeah, I feel like I'm way more authentic and that like they can know this part of me. Cause you know, Brene Brown talks also, shout out to my girl, hashtag. Hashtag repost. But she talks about you can't just numb the negative emotions and have the positive.
Yeah.
When you numb emotions, you numb emotions. And so when you hide parts of you, it's not like I'm just hiding this gay part and then here's the rest of Jill. It's like, no, I'm cutting off a lot of who I am.
Ooh. I was just talking to a friend about that where it's like, like when I came out and started allowing myself to feel, like I felt everything more.
Yes.
Like I felt everything more. I felt good. I felt empowered. I felt sadder.
Yeah.
Like the rejection I felt from a date that didn't go well once I'd come out was so different than like before.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was like, well, no big deal. And now I was like crushed. I was like, I was like getting like heartbreak and love songs I didn't really understand. And now I'm like John Legend.
Yeah, you feel deep.
It's like you feel everything more.
But you also feel more compassion.
Yes.
Like compassion for other people, more empathy for like, oh my gosh, I know what it feels like to feel isolated or hidden or like when you face your demons, it becomes a beautiful part of you that you can see the beautiful parts of other people.
Okay. I'm trying to double into scripture, but I'm a huge fan of the concept of like taking weak things and making them strong. And I think sometimes all it takes is like shining a light on it and some attention.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to acknowledge it. This is not a strength. And then like you can dive in and it allows you to become this heartache. This heartbreak turns into compassion.
Yeah.
Okay, girl. All right. We're talking some alchemy now. Transforming these things. Tell me about, so like one of the focuses for this, and I love this and I'll talk about it all the time, is the concept of queer joy.
Mm-hmm.
I have not defined that term. I don't really know what it's supposed to mean. And so I want to know from you, when you hear the term queer joy, what does that mean to you?
That like excites me when you say that. That's so interesting. When you're like queer joy, I'm like, oh, yes, I know what that feels like.
Ooh, tell me about it.
I don't even know. I don't even know if I can put words to it, what I feel, but I would say that queer joy is like embracing your truth and happiness. It's like embracing you.
Mm.
And so it's like doing something because you love it and not caring what other people think.
Interesting.
Because like, there's little things that I've noticed that I embrace more. So like growing up, I was this like little tomboy, and like I played baseball and I wanted to do Boy Scouts and all these things, which is fine. Like girls can do that too, even straight, heterosexual, like that's fine. But when I came out as gay and I was like, I own a truck and I like to build things and I do woodwork, I'm like, it's cause I'm gay. And like, and like some people hate the stereotypes, but like, I love it. I love stepping into it. And I'm like, I love that I can identify. I'm like, oh, that feels so good. Like that I can identify that way and be like, heck yeah, that's who I am. Heck yeah, that's what I love. Like,
I love that.
You step into it and just, instead of seeing it a different way, it's like, nah, I love that I am like that and that I feel those things.
Ooh.
I love that I'm so attracted to females and like what the, like soft skin, like these things that I'm like,
interesting.
That is, I love that I love it. Cause people are like, when they come out, they're like, I can't change this, right? They're like, I couldn't change this even if I wanted to. I'm like, I wouldn't if I could. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to change
it. I totally feel like that now. I feel like growing up, a huge portion of my life was praying for God to fix me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, everyone should get a chance to be gay.
I'm like, it's you just, love it. Try
it's
it
just
out.
It's great. It's so funny hearing you talk too about like what you love about women. And I'm like, I am very different than that. I'm
totally.
Like, give me like your hairy, your brawny, your like rougher skin.
The masculine.
I held a guy's hand. Okay, this is weird, but my hands are so rough. They're
rough.
I've gone from lifting. I've gone from lifting where I used to get calluses and now it's like my whole hand.
Yeah.
And I used to be so embarrassed about holding girls' hands when I was dating women. Because I'm like, sorry, you got to hold these like rock hands. And men love it. They grab my hand and they're like, masculinity. I'm like, I should be holding a rock. I love it. But I love that. I love hearing you like talk about what you love about your identity. And I think that's a power is when you embrace your identity. You like, it's like your powers combine to create this like symphony and this like, it's just, I love it. I love it.
But what's beautiful is that you love something and find beauty in something
mm-hmm.
that I don't. And I do in something that you don't,
right?
And so like, what is beauty? It's subjective.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to like, to be okay with that, that I don't have to find beauty in what everybody else finds.
Yes.
And then it's like, okay, you can like that, but I don't. I love this, right?
And it's super cool.
And it's okay.
Okay, a question for you. So we kind of talked about what queer joy means to you. Is there a moment, an experience, a time you could think in your life where you're like, I experienced queer joy? Like a specific moment?
I think I feel the most queer joy when I have been around other people that also holds space for me and that I can talk about it. And they're like, that is so cool. Like other lesbian couples that we go out to dinner with or like talking with my brother who is gay. Like I talked to him on the phone. I was like, oh my gosh, how are you and your boyfriend doing? Are you guys like, are you looking to get married? And then like he talks to me, he's like, so what about you guys? Have you thought about having kids?
Mm.
And like those moments where it's like beautiful that they're excited for what I love, even though it's not what they love or it's something different. It's like, that I can talk about and be excited about something that I love.
Oh, I love that. That's like the holding space, the concept of like, it really does go in line with allowing you to be yourself.
And I don't have to feel that with queer people. Like heterosexual people can feel that, straight people. But when they ask and they care, then I'm like, oh, I am excited about this. I am excited about my future because it has shifted. Like I'm still who I am, but now I'm more seen and I'm more authentic.
Man, so my dad is like who I love to death. He's Southern Black, very like different culture and community. When I came out to him, he was like really cool about it, but really didn't know what to do. He's like, yo, like, I guess we don't talk about it. And I was like, no, sir, we're gonna talk a lot. but one of the moments where I experienced queer joy, and it reminds me kind of along your definition, was when me and my dad were sharing dating experiences.
Ooh.
My dad's single. And he's telling me about this embarrassing date he went on. And like this embarrassing thing happened. And then I shared a date I'd been on with a guy or something embarrassing happened. And it wasn't like, this is a gay story. It was like, it was cool to just have this moment where I could connect with my dad with dating experiences. And I felt this like joy of like, I can completely be myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can just like, he's not like, that's a boy. He was just like, we're laughing at embarrassing things happening. I love it. I love it so much. Okay, we're not going to take too much more time, but I do want to know from you, is there anything like we have teen listeners and people with families.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any mantra, anything that you want to leave on? Like, is there something that's important to you that you're like, I would like to share this aspect?
Something I think is important is that, you know, we talk about the joy and we talk about the pain and that there's so many extremes in our emotions. I think the biggest message I want for like people who are listening is that it's important to make your mess your message.
Okay.
Is that what you experience? It's never easy. It's never clean. Mm. It's never nice and smooth. Like, it never is. And it's different for everybody. Oh. Whether it's family or friends or work or partners or whatever, it's messy. Mm. But let that mess be your message to help other people and to feel. Like, let yourself feel it so that you can help and impact other people. Mm. Because that's when you start experiencing true joy in life, is that joy does not necessarily mean happiness.
Right.
Right? Joy is the ups and the downs, and it's life. It's experiencing it and embracing all of it.
That is beautiful, and I am on board. Just the concept of, I'm a very big believer in like true like happiness, true joy.
Yeah.
Is not, yeah, it's not one or the other. It's not happiness without pain.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not like the struggle without, it's like this, yeah, it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a very, like, that's like a religious scriptural approach I have from it. It's like this like mixture of the good and the bad, the hard and the fun and the, yeah, the combination of it. Jill, like, thank you so much for taking your time. I know that you have been running around, you're exhausted, and then you still took the time to come and kick it with us, and I love that. Where can people find more about you? People want to know where Jill is. Where can we follow Jill?
I do have an Instagram and a TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Your TikTok is so fun, by the way.
It's crazy.
Your story about your truck getting stolen, oh, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. That, I was legit. Life is just crazy, you know?
It is.
And that's the thing is, AJR, 100 bad days is 100 good stories, and 100 good stories makes me interesting at parties.
Okay.
I love that song. So I'm like, that is life. My truck gets stolen, I'm gonna find it. It's gonna be a cool story.
It's gonna be a cool, it was like, you're a good storyteller too. It's
Thank
very
you.
Clear. Okay, so you do, you're on TikTok, you're on Instagram. Is it just Jillian Orr?
Yep. I think it's Jillian Oreo. Cookie. I love myself some Oreos.
Jill, thanks for coming.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Catch y'all later. I don't know how to end this thing.